Hey guys, and welcome to the ASAP for Synergy on April the 22nd. We heard a message from David, continuing the series Misunderstood, talking about leadership, who can be a leader, what it looks like to be a leader, and even like expanding the definition of leadership. Super helpful word from him, and we are going to jump right into it with Paige and Rachel here with me.
Hey, guys.
Good to be with you guys.
Hello.
And you may remember we're breaking things up a little bit, so the actual Synergy audio will be on a different like little thing on our podcast feed. So if you weren't in Synergy, go ahead and press pause and hop on over to that and give that a listen, and then jump over here for some hopefully helpful discussion with some practical takeaways for you guys. So with that being said, let's jump right into it. We're going to peel back the curtain a little bit on David, because Paige has actually heard this message not once, but twice. So she's going to be our expert. So Paige, first of all, tell us how that happened, and then tell us maybe what your biggest takeaway was.
See, I do find great pleasure in exposing David in this moment. I did have the honor of going to Southland Students this past Wednesday and inviting some of their seniors to CSF in their freshman year. And David did speak the same exact message to those seniors that night. But hey, it's a good message, am I right? So why not? If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Also, like, the boy's been busy. Like, Feast was last weekend. He was doing some interviews. So
he's
like,
got kids. I mean, I can't imagine.
I mean, if it's a good word, you know, why not preach it twice?
Exactly.
So, cool. So you heard the message not once, but twice. Mm-hmm. Was it the same thing that stood out both times, or was it something different each time? Talk to me a little bit about what you took away from what David had to say.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think that both times, in the section where he was talking about being disqualified for your past for being in leadership, like the myth number three or whatever it was, that definitely was the part that stuck out the most to me in both times that I heard it. Just because I think it's, I mean, if the ministry of Jesus was not, hey, go and sin no more to the adulterous woman, like get up from your life of sin and go and literally proclaim me to everybody, like, then what is the mission, or what is the good news if not, you know, you can have a new life in Jesus and you're not disqualified because of your past? And specifically, like, he mentioned, like, oh, now that you've slept with your boyfriend, oh, you're disqualified from ministry. Oh, because you've smoked weed in high school, or even now, like, oh, you're disqualified from ministry. And I think it's just really important to for the church to make a stance on, hey, like, you are made new, and like, go and sin no more, obey the commands of Jesus, and then you can fully do ministry, no matter if your past includes sexual things or like even people in the LGBTQ community. I think this is important to say, like, if you're living a life of obedience, no matter what your sin struggle is, or no matter how God made you, like, you are fully capable and even called to ministry as a believer.
Yeah. So I think that, I thought it was interesting how, you know, he even talked about in that first myth of like the people who are in leadership, like, have it all together and have a perfect track record. And I think that we even like expand that to our definition of like what we think church is, where we think like that, the people that show up, to Synergy on Thursdays, or that are in the pews on Sunday mornings, are like the people who are like the most pious and like put together, and like, that's not the vision of what the church is. Like, as Christians, we're like the people who are most aware of our brokenness and our need for grace. And so I think that's a good word, that like, that even expands to leadership, where you could even say the people that are in leadership are the people who like need Jesus the most and are like most aware of just like, yes, like the world's need for them, and they want to meet that need, but also like their own need for Jesus.
Yeah, totally.
And I think David even talked about that in the, I think it was the first message of the Misunderstood series, about being broken and allowing yourself to be broken. And so, like, just off of what Paige was saying, I was sitting here thinking, I was like, I don't think there would be a CSF staff if we were disqualified for our past sin. Like, I don't think we would have any CSF staff members even. And so I think what you're saying is just so important, that we are not disqualified by our past or sin, even the sin now. Like, God can renew us from that. That is the power of Jesus being risen from the grave, is that it is the power over sin. And so that is something that we can walk into, because we are all called in some way into ministry, whether it's the ministry of like CSF at a church or being, like David said, a CEO at a company. Like mm-hmm. we are called into ministry wherever we go. And therefore sin does not disqualify us because we are all called children of God mm-hmm. by yeah. faith, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And if all of us who were leaders, like had it put together, then like, what does the church even have to speak to a broken world?
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know, like if we're all put together people, then like really we have no testimony to give. Mm-hmm. But if we have been broken, if we're aware of our brokenness, if we've wrestled with, you know, the darkness of the world and have found healing and have found a light, then like, that's a really powerful mm-hmm. message that we have to share with the rest of the world.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not even if you've struggled with yeah. the darkness of the
that's
world.
Good. That's
every
good.
single person struggles with the darkness of the world, whether they want to acknowledge it or not. Mm. And it is sad that there are like sins that the enemy makes us feel like we can't talk about. Like, oh, this mm-hmm. is too bad. This is too gross. Like even, I mean, I've struggled with this. Like I've felt before that, oh, if people knew this about me, they would completely disregard all the things that I've ever said about my relationship with the Lord and yeah. because of this sin. But that is straight up a lie from the enemy, because that's exactly who God is taking every single broken part of us and turning it around and using it for his glory. Like the fact that, you know, we've all, every single one of us have been to different dark parts of life, different dark parts of the world. Like every single person has a story that the Lord wants to use for his glory. Mm-hmm. Nothing ever is too far away. Yeah. Like those are the exact places that he wants to go to. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I think like the first lie is like, you're not like capable of leadership. And the mm-hmm. other like is that you like have nothing to give or to share. Yeah.
Or I don't have a testimony.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
or like, yeah, I think we're even like, made prone to like isolation where it's like mm-hmm. no one else like resonates with what you're mm-hmm. going through. Mm-hmm. And that's what like, you know, keeps everything in the dark. And like the moment we bring things to the light, there's people like, oh shoot, like, you know, your boldness, like to lead and share your story and share mm-hmm. where you've been and where you are now, like actually connects and like speaks into my life.
Right. Yeah. And how are we supposed to walk away with the power over sin if we don't reveal that light, like allow the light to reflect on what's going on in our hearts? If we mm-hmm. don't repent that or even like share that with our community,
yeah,
what does it look like to walk out in mm-hmm. the power over sin?
If it stays hidden, then it stays unhealed.
Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure. And so even just like what you're saying, walk away, like go and sin no more. Jesus mm-hmm. commanded that. Like, mm-hmm. yes, we have sinned. We are called away from that too. Mm-hmm. To just not even, I think this kind of goes in with like last week about like license. Like our sin isn't something that we can just keep doing and be like, oh, God's going to forgive me. Oh, God's going to forgive me. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. We still do walk away from it, but it doesn't disqualify us at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. Like if it's, it doesn't matter where you've been, but it does matter where you're going.
Yeah.
Right. When we talk about leadership. Yeah. And so I think that it was helpful that David even gave us an image of what leadership can look like. And what we are called into as leaders and how that looks differently from the world. So Oswald Chambers, that quote that he shared, says that the spiritual leader will choose the hidden path of sacrificial service and approval of the Lord over the flamboyant self-advertising of the world. Mm-hmm. And he wrote this like before social media was mm-hmm. even a thing, before we all wanted to be influencers and it mattered, you know, if our pages were curated and people became brands and all of that stuff. And just that, what it looks like to be a leader often looks like climbing a ladder or trying to gain more status or more titles or more followers or whatever that thing is. But the path that Jesus offers is like distinctly different from that, that the spiritual leader will choose the hidden path of sacrificial service and approval of the Lord, saying that, you know, Lord, I don't care about anyone else's approval. Lord, I just want to be pleasing in your sight. Mm-hmm. So with that image of leadership before us, what do you all think is kind of, what does it practically look like for students to step into that?
Yeah. So some of the encouragements David gave at the end were to serve selflessly and set a good example. And that goes in really well with when he was talking about not needing a title to serve. Like we can mm-hmm. be a leader and not have a title for it. Mm-hmm. I think oftentimes, even around this ministry, I'm probably guilty of this too. We celebrate titles as opposed to just like being leaders in who we are. Jesus, I would say, calls us all to be leaders in some way in how we live out our lives. And so I think we celebrate the gift instead of the giver, and we celebrate the title instead of the way of life that Jesus is calling us into, and just living into that humbly and being satisfied even in just walking out our lives with the Lord instead of needing titles. Mm-hmm. And so I think that recently Haley Burroughs, Rachel Prophet, and Connor Hutchison lived this out really well, because a couple weeks ago, Wednesday Cafe was not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And they were available. They were here and they stepped up and they said, I'm going to help. Mm-hmm. And I think that was just such a beautiful image of what we could all walk into of servant leadership. Mm-hmm. And not needing a title. It's not their title to put on Wednesday Cafe. It was a very behind the scenes the way that they stepped up. But I would say that they were all servant leaders in that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really cool way that even Jesus would have lived and mm-hmm. Lived out servant leadership. And so mm-hmm. I think that's a cool practical application that we could do.
That's definitely awesome. Yeah. I think that we think a lot about like, we talk about like being called higher a lot.
Yeah.
And I think what Jesus really modeled for us was being called lower.
Yeah.
Where he was willing to serve, to wash his disciples' dirty feet. Mm-hmm. But also like to take on the cross.
Yeah.
And so there really is no limit to like just how low he may ask us to go to yeah. really be a servant of all. Mm. Paige, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that being a huge part about being a leader is just being available, like what Rachel was hitting on. And being available means like who's going to be the one to step up, who's going to be the one to like stand up for what they believe in, or like take the less glamorous service role, like just be kind of someone that's willing to be put anywhere, not caring about status or how it makes you look. But I think like, yeah, leading by example, mm-hmm. and like Rachel said.
Yeah. And I think for me, the practical thing I really liked also, I was all about like the quotes that David chose in his message. but the Frederick Buechner quote where mm-hmm. he said, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet.
Mm, yeah,
that's good.
I just think that's so good. I think that so much of even, I think what we've been wrestling through is like, who we are called to be and not mm-hmm. what we want to do, and mm-hmm. these things that are misunderstood. And, you know, even the, like going back to the, but why series of just like figuring out, and that's just like college season, right? Is like, who am I going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I just love yeah. how like direct that is.
Yeah.
The place God calls you to, or even the way that God has created you, is for your deep gladness to meet the world's deep hunger. Obviously, mm-hmm. we know that we live in a broken world that deeply needs Christ, that deeply needs hope. But also we are like created to experience joy, to be deeply fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And we won't experience the fullness of that in this world, but we can like get a taste of it. And so
mm-hmm.
I love that question that David even posed to us of like, so what makes your heart come alive?
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder how many of us, have like done that work of actually sitting down and figuring out what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's like some pretty tough, like internal work. And so I think that like, whether that's, you know, opening up your journal and just writing that out and just seeing what, you know, the Lord has to say, or whether it's, you know, taking a walk just with that kind of question on your mind, whatever that is, I don't know. Jesus wants to like, I think sometimes we, like, when we think about service, it's like, oh, I have to do something that's like uncomfortable. But I think it's in some ways there's like that balance of like, yeah, like it's good to be uncomfortable, but also like we're meant to do what we're, you know, created to do.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
where does your heart break for the world?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What work like would deeply fulfill you? I think is some really good questions to ask. And I love that David posed that.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's good. I think it's cool too, to even like, a lot of people feel like quote unquote called to come on staff at CSF, but every single person I think has a completely different reason why they came on staff, which yeah. is a beautiful picture of that quote of like, where does your heart like gladness meet with the world's hunger?
Yeah.
Like for me, coming on staff was all about, I had no idea who I was in college, and that led me to a lot of broken places. But the second that I met God, like, and found my identity in Christ, like I literally came alive. Like I heard for the first time that I was pure because of who Christ was, not because of what I had done. And that changed everything for me. And so then like now, a huge part of what makes me come alive in ministry is telling young freshman girls that think that they're, like we're talking about, disqualified from ministry because of what they've done, telling them who they are in Christ and how that changes everything. And like, that's why I came on staff, and I'm sure Rachel and Landon have completely different reasons too, but it's like exactly that, like where, you know, my deep hunger for the world comes from people knowing who they are in Christ, their identity. And that need is so prevalent on campus. Yeah. And so that's, you know, people are like, oh, what's my purpose? What am I called to? And it's like, well, you know, look at your own story, you know, sit down and journal like Landon was just talking about, or if you don't like journaling, I don't know, talk it out with God.
Yeah. And if you're like struggling to even figure that out, like bring that question before your best friends, bring it before your family. Like, cause sometimes the people that are closest to us can even call those things out in you, and they can see like, man, when you do this, like you come alive. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, even I think so many times, just doing this podcast week over week, when we get to this practical point, I feel like we always hit on like, bring your community into it.
Yeah.
So even allow them to like speak into like, man, this is where I feel like you really come alive. This is what you're really good at. This is where, you know, you can meet the world's needs. So yeah, I think that's kind of what I've got. Do you all have any final thoughts?
No, I think we did a pretty well-rounded thought process here.
Yeah. The practical things, bringing in your community, asking them like, what spiritual gifts do you see in me? I know we talked about this in curriculum a few weeks ago, with the spiritual gifts, but, and not even that, just like, what do you think I'm good at? Or, you know, and just like trying new things, like don't be afraid to step into a different service role or whatever around your community, around CSF, try new things.
Love it. Well, big shout out to David for the word. Paige, Rachel, Paige, Rachel, thank you for being here. Thank you for unpacking
it. It's my pleasure.
And I look forward to what comes out of this for you all. I will be back next week to fanboy over Carson Wentz and what he had to say. But until next time, have a great week, and we'll see you all soon.
Grace, peace.
See you next week.